to our hellhole.
To the cave.
The cave of knowledge.
The cave of wonders. We are the Raging Hermits.
Beautiful.
Love it. Love it. We're all about that weird shit, that good shit, that weird shit in the media we consume shit.
That can visually consume media shit.
Nom, nom, nom.
We're getting weird and dark and pointy today.
Very, very angular.
All the things that I like. Love it when things are sharp enough to cut you. Speaking of cutting.
Today's subject is... Jonan Vasquez,
aka the Maid Invader Zim,
and
aka our goth dad.
Goth dad, aka Jonathan the Homicidal Maniac, artist and author, also father of the Happy Noodle Boy.
The Happy Noodle Boy.
Daddy.
Is Jonan Vasquez our goth dad or our goth uncle? I think he'd rather be the goth uncle.
I think he's the goth cousin.
He's the gunkle.
He's the gunkle.
Jonan Vasquez is the gunkle. Because that's definitely what Johnny the Homicidal Maniac is bred from. Subculture, like indie comics we were talking about before.
Indie comics, indie rage.
Yeah.
Independent rage. And, oh, they're mainstream now. We can't like that.
Yeah.
Sellout.
Much hatred for Nine Inch Nails. Much hatred.
I just love, like, the evolution of, like, from, like, this indie comic thing to suddenly, like, which was sold in Hot Topic.
Yes, it was.
To then, like, moving over to Invader Zim, which was also sold in Hot Topic. So really, only the thing that changed is, I guess, technically the demographic, where you went from, like, goth woe is me kids to fucking, like...
Weird aliens.
Weird aliens, weird rar XD kids.
Yes.
So yeah, back to your boy Jonan Vasquez, though. Our gunkle. Goth uncle.
The best gunkle.
Who doesn't like you. He doesn't want to be near you.
He doesn't want to be near... Well, I mean, he wants to be near you, but mostly so, like, he can use you for weird references, like he does with, like... Didn't he do that for, like, Bioshock?
Yes.
He did, like, art for Bioshock, and he was, like, I think he's, like, nieces for it.
Yeah, he's that gunkle. I did read that, yeah.
What are you working on, gunkle?
Some weird shit.
I want to be part of that.
Don't call me your gunkle. Not goth.
Not even goth. It's not even...
Lots of poop jokes. He definitely devolved into lots of poop jokes, and they're so good.
It's so good.
Poop, mooses, mongooses.
Spleens.
Pork,
a lot of squealy spooch, lots of entrails in general.
Lots of organs.
It's a gift.
Lots of delicious meat.
But I guess we better start it. Well, I guess not the beginning. Like the beginning would be like I guess his conception. We're not going to talk about that.
I don't want that.
He was concepted in San Jose in 1974.
I'm sorry. Did you say he was concepted?
Yeah.
He was conceived.
No, I'm pretty sure it's conception.
You're right. I'm a fucking idiot. Said anything. I'm a fucking idiot. You're right. You're absolutely correct. Yes. Didn't he used to do like a school newspaper or some shit?
He did. He started drawing Happy Noodle Boy and a version of Johnny the Homicidal Maniac in high school. Mostly because people would be like, oh, you do art? Will you draw this for me? And then he would draw like something fucked up to get them to stop talking to him.
Please stop speaking to me. Why'd you draw my head on a stick? No reason.
It's art.
Don't limit my expression.
Why did the tigers have to eat everyone, Calvin? Because that's what tigers do.
Tell me I'm wrong.
But yeah, after high school, he tried to be a film student for a while and then was like, nah, I want to be a comic. And so he went out there and ended up meeting Roman Dirge, who is the creator of Lenore, which... As soon as I found that out, I was like, way back machine.
You went all the way back in time.
I guess he made an animated series that you can find on YouTube. Yeah, with Lenore. Yeah. And I went down a YouTube Lenore hole for a while. And then through that, I remembered Happy Tree Friends.
Oh, dear God.
And I was like, yo, I'm going in the way, way back machine.
It's gotta be great for kids. It's bright and colorful. No.
Did you hear about that happening? And then there was this huge like wave of like upset moms thinking that this was like propaganda, like violent propaganda for children. And I'm like, I understand why you would think that, but consider this: it is rated MA when you go on Netflix.
It was never rated for your fucking kids.
It was never meant for children. The children just found it because the internet, and then you couldn't stop us.
It's also funny to me because so many of the moms that say that stuff used to watch Family Guy.
Let's just keep on skating. Anyway, okay, back to what we were talking about. Joan Vasquez.
But yes, he also met, I'm going to kill all these names, Roserick Ricky Simmons and his wife Tavisha at the Alternative Press Expo. They started doing collaborations together, which ended up at Slave Labor Graphics, where he started working on Johnny the Homicidal Maniac.
From which the button came out of the oven.
Dark, very unhappy to be alive bun.
Twas born.
It's the sweetest, angriest cinnamon roll ever.
I love it.
I think Ricky Simmons did coloring for him, didn't he? I know he did the coloring on I Feel Sick.
I think he did the coloring on I Feel Sick. I don't think Joan... I don't think Johnny the Homicidal Maniac was in color.
No, it wasn't. No. Well, I think the director's cut, some parts of it. He didn't do the original Johnny at all.
No.
But I think he also did Invader Zim. I think he was on the team for that, too.
He was. He was the voice of Gurr.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Roserick was the voice of Gurr.
He's the best voice.
I love it.
I'm impossible. It's catching legs.
It was inevitable that we were going to have a Gurr montage of us just pretending to be Gurr for a second.
I mean, that's not going to be half this podcast.
That's... I don't know what you...
This is going to be... I don't know what y'all signed up for, but it's definitely going to be a lot of bad Gurr imitations.
This is exactly why, one, everyone hates Joan Vasquez's fan base, and two, why Joan Vasquez hates his fan base. Because every 5 seconds is, I'm going to do the doom song! Doom, 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 doom! Bitch.
Let me live my life. Supposed to be unlikable. But he's adorably derpy.
You were a fool. The thing that people would not love it. You know people love stupid.
People do love stupid.
People love stupid.
And Gurr is... His brain is a marble and a paperclip.
Oh, I love that. Literally. He's not stupid.
He's advanced.
So yes, go on ahead with your... Bedelia did a lot of really good research.
Yup, sure did.
We didn't do any on the background. We just read a bunch of comics. Well, I mean, I guess I've been liking doing it, but still, it's whatever.
We read a whole bunch of comics, watched some cartoons, and now we're here.
But you guys can talk a little more about the comics because I read, like, an issue of Johnny the Homicidal Maniac in high school. I read an issue of Squee in high school, but I remember them. I remember seeing the art style and being like, yo, this is fucked up, but I'm with it.
There was... a phase where he had all of these weird comments in the border artwork between the panels.
I love that, yes.
I have still not deciphered all of mine on the director's cuts, but oh my god. Those were the most interesting things to sit and turn the book around to read.
I remember one very specifically.
Yes.
From Squee, where it's Shmi. Shmi being like the fear sponge.
Yes.
And it's like this really like intense like... perspective of him from like I guess sort of above but the light shining down so his whole face is dark and Joan Vasquez writes in the little corner, you like this panel, yes?
The editor, notes to the editor, you like, you keep.
I think there was one in Johnny where like he did something and like the guy's brain is exploded everywhere and there's like a tiny little comment like, we used like prosthetics and like this is how we did this effect. But yes, it was a real brain. At the very end.
Let's be clear about that. It was a real brain.
Absolutely a real brain.
I hate that.
Loved all the side segue arcs, like the awful vampire with his tusks.
I love that.
And vampire bees.
Vampire bees. I also loved who was it? Superheroes.
Oh my god.
The one who's like all meat.
The one?
And like all meat and mother and all tit and that bitch break in half. She break in half and like three nerds drag her to the car.
Say!
Boink away with the carcass.
Terrifying. But yes, so that was his beginnings, I guess. That's how that works. And then he started doing Johnny, I guess.
Johnny, then Squee.
Then Squee. And then, I guess I Feel Sick came out. I'm not sure. I think it came out around the same time.
It was a little bit after, I believe. I didn't get to deep.
Because all the characters are all intertwined anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think I Feel Sick is the only parts I've not read.
It's good.
I only have the director's cut for Squee and Jonah.
Johnny. Yeah. I Feel Sick is actually probably my favorite one from him. It's really good. Just because I love Devi. She's like the epitome of the baddest bitch. She's such a good character.
Such a good character.
Especially like as a foil to Johnny. Like she's such a strong character, and Johnny is a weak bitch. Johnny a weak bitch. He'd be crying like every 2 seconds. Shut the fuck up, dude. Like,
yelling.
Shut up.
Styrofoam Pillsbury children.
I'm crazy. Debbie's over here like, my paintings literally fucking talk to me. So don't even come in this shit.
I'm fine.
I'm fine.
Why aren't you stronger?
She cussed him the fuck out on the phone. That shit was great.
Oh my god.
He called her trying to leave a recording and she's like, yo, turn that shit off.
Miss me with that.
She's like, I ain't been outside at all because your ass crazy.
I don't want to be near you. No, more Debbie in the world is what we need.
That's fact.
I do enjoy overall how weak and weird his male characters are, and how strong his female characters are.
Yes.
Even in Zim,
That's so
Gaz
true.
Is a strong character.
Tack
is a strong character.
Yes.
Even the teacher is a strong character.
Miss Bitters.
She's terrifying.
Miss Bitters.
She is terrifying.
Yeah. Jonan said that Gaz was actually his favorite character, and that he wished he could have explored her more.
She's such a unique character.
I love Gaz.
Yeah,
and she doesn't necessarily do a whole lot, but she's the real one. She's the real one.
Yeah.
Come to your house, break down your door.
It's true.
Because you cut her in line.
You cut me in line.
You
I want my
lied.
Fucking game.
You lie.
Oh my fucking game.
Your life deserves to be hell.
She gonna torture
use
you.
Use that line. The rightful order has been
restored.
And this is why people hate Zim fans.
Well, that was also the interesting part about Invader Zim is he would sneak all that little social commentary in there.
Yes.
Like, oh, toxic fandoms, maybe? Oh, yeah. People are gross, maybe?
Can you imagine?
The child, the baby in the seat is just an entire germ.
Yes. An entire
I
germ.
I hate it.
He does a lot of very interesting, even in Squeak, comics about skin mites.
It's just so good.
Bugs.
I don't think he likes germs. He's got to think about
it. I don't think he likes germs either. Sure.
I think he's very prone to getting sick, too.
I think he's very prone. Is that you don't like this because you've actually... You are a weak human being. Your constitution needs to be stronger.
You need stronger fortitude.
Yeah, just fortify it.
Hey, shout out to Jonah Vasquez. We're doing this whole podcast about you, but for real, though... Fortify, my nigga. Fortify, dude. Like, fortify.
You can do it. We believe in you.
You can do it. We didn't mean to roast you up here. Well, I did. I did it. I already did
it. Of course, we are meaning to roast him.
I'm here to roast everybody.
Just roast all the things.
Roast all things and everyone.
So I wanted to talk a little bit more about Johnny the Homicidal Maniac.
Please.
Only because I've been trying to figure out how to frame this conversation about how it happened in the time that it happened.
Yes.
You know, like, if Johnny the Homicidal Maniac came out now, all of the moms would be like,
internet, Facebook yell you've ever heard. It would hurt you.
But as angsty teenagers, it was like, yo, this shit is so fucking cool. This is edgy. This is how I feel. But then you read it now and you're kind of like, ooh, yikes.
That's going to be a big ol' yikes for me.
And like, it's still entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would still read them.
I still love the art style.
You don't identify with the characters in the same way. Because you're no longer in that. You've evolved. The characters are forever in the time capsule.
Well, that's what I was, I think, saying before, is that, like, it's very indicative of, like, early 20s Jonan Vasquez, who was very into, like, ultimately, like, that sort of, like, indie scene and, like...
Well, and for that, there's an entire moment of people, moms raging, oh, we don't want our kids exposed to this. I'm also going, reading that as a outlet to find something else reflecting back at you, something you maybe you're feeling anyway, is healthier than being told that you're weird.
Exactly.
It actually gave a lot of people a safe space to have these feelings, have that angst, be that sulky teen weirdo, draw that shit, and know that maybe they weren't alone. And hopefully they've all grown as a semi-normal adults, or at least somewhat balanced in their lives.
Somewhat balanced.
Definitely still have to get the red flavored slushy, and definitely make sure that you leave the money, even if you kill both the robber and teller.
Just make sure. That's just the right thing to do.
Just leave the money. Just leave it. It's fine.
You have to be an upstanding citizen.
Even if you kill people, you gotta be upstanding.
You gotta be upstanding, buddy.
You don't have to be a dick.
Be a dick about it. Fucking kill the lady for calling him wacky. I fucking hate this shit.
As I was doing this podcast the whole time, I'm like, don't describe it as wacky.
Don't describe it as wacky. Don't do it. Wacky slapstick comedy, family fun, Johnny the homicidal maniac.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Oh, yeah. Fun for the whole family.
Definitely. Definitely Happy Noodle Boy.
A Happy Noodle Boy is...
He's so wholesome.
A gift.
He just wants you to have first
Honestly,
breath.
Shout out to Jonah Vasquez for making Happy Noodle Boy. Fuck all the other shit he did.
Happy Noodle Boy and Filler Bunny.
Yes.
They rise to the heavens.
Filler Bunny is my everything.
Filler Bunny's so good. Don't hurt my family!
When I was doing all this and I was reading Happy Noodle Boy, I associated it with Zim, but I heard an interview with Jonan where he thinks that it's more like Gurr.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah.
True. Yeah, yeah.
true.
It is the non-sequitur that comes out of Gurr.
Me, completely like nonsense. I love it.
Basically.
R-rated Gurr, yes, that's a good way to describe
so
it, yeah.
So much R-rated Gurr, but it's so good.
It makes sense considering, like, what, according to, like, in, like, canon, Happy Noodle Boy is, like, Johnny's character.
Yes.
Like, that Johnny draws. Fucking weirdo.
It's a comic within the comic.
A comic Maybe. Within a comic. Oh. Wah! That's the Inception noise. I need both of those to be sound clips that we can just play whenever.
I did it myself. That has to be on the soundboard.
You're welcome.
But from the seeds of Johnny the Homicidal Maniac, and then Squee, and I Feel Sick, Claude from the depths of his hell dungeon, and brought to Nickelodeon.
Yep. There was a producer at Nickelodeon who was looking to fill a time/age range, and somehow she saw Squee and was like, this'll make a great kids show.
You know what? This is what the kids need.
She's not wrong.
I mean, she wasn't.
Like, I mean, it, we are also talking about how it's a product of the time, too.
Exactly.
Like, early thousands.
The early 2000s was a ride.
It was like 1999 to what, 2005?
Invader Zim was 2001 to 2002.
All right.
And then I forget exactly what happened with the third season.
It got weird.
It was a little different.
It got weird. Like, it ended on a Christmas special.
Which...
It's the best Christmas special.
I found out that the reason why Minnie Moose just kind of like appears was, yeah, it was supposed to be a character in some of the other seasons, but just kind of appears and...
He got left on the editing room floor. It's fine.
Right.
But it happens.
Minnie Moose.
Moose are terrifying. A room.
But a Minnie.
With a moose.
With a moose.
That's what I'm saying.
The Mises.
The Mises are
terrifying. Jonan has a thing about Moose. I don't know what happened to him as a child, but...
I just think they're majestic. Maybe they're just majestic.
I feel like he thinks they're terrifying.
I don't know. Say a room with a moose.
No, and I feel like that's a natural response.
You can be both majestic and terrifying.
That's true. You can be. Indeed, Meese are.
Yes, they are. Very, very majestic and terrifying creatures.
Yes, that's facts.
This is true. But yeah, so...
I didn't actually realize that the span... I mean, I know it was only three seasons, but it doesn't feel like it was that short.
Yes.
Exactly. When I was doing my research, I was like, is that... That's it?
That's it? That's all?
Yeah. Because it was so expensive to make, and because it was in a weird time slot for a weird age range, it wasn't very successful at the time. That's why it got canceled so quickly. But then all these fucking weirdos were like, this is our show now.
Raw XD!
We're not gonna let it go.
We're all random.
Own this.
I got you a cupcake, but then I ate it.
Why? Why did you... I had to make room for the tuna.
Tuna.
Just uncomfortable noises.
Y'all like that? Y'all like that ASMR? I'm Gurr. See, I'm Gurr.
There's just so many weird pieces. I know I have the DVDs, so I've done that nerd thing. If you sit and you listen to all the commentary episodes, commentaries.
Yep.
The commentaries are actually fan fucking fantastic.
Yes, yes, they are.
Because they talk about the backstories for the characters. There's even like the weird hobo that appears
over and over.
No,
the corn.
He's supposed to be a reoccurring character. He's also supposed to be a foreshadowing of what happens if Dib keeps going.
That makes so much sense.
It makes it so much better. I don't
see. I love that. It's like fucking love that.
This happened when I cursed my sister with the hog demons. How would you know exactly what happened?
No reason.
I'm you. Hate you.
I do appreciate how so many pieces in Invader Zim, watching it growing up, felt like they began to forecast things that actually happened. Like, I'm convinced President Man is George W. Bush.
Oh, true.
He's just dumb enough.
It was right
in
right then, yep, 2001, yep.
And he's definitely predicted people being fat and dumb.
Okay. Well, I don't feel like that was that hard of a prediction.
They don't pay attention.
I don't feel like that was that hard of a prediction either. I don't know either of those was that hard of a prediction.
They may not have hard predictions, but it still was interesting to see in a children's show.
It is, yes, that's true.
It didn't exist in any of the comparative contemporary shows.
Exactly. The theme that humans are disgusting, fat sheep people.
Love that.
No, it wasn't a super common theme.
Love that.
Shows.
Love that.
And it's so accurate to how we are.
Then Wally came out.
How they would even put the sheep noises in the show.
It was so good.
So good.
And Lodi's Pizza Hog.
Visceral reactions to that animation.
Disgusting.
I don't want it. I don't need it. How do you come out with a new pizza flavor? What the fuck does that even mean?
Not pizza.
Kid had just floated from one side of the patch.
Oh, I forgot about that. Well, in the whole episode where the Fry Lord, fast food planet, like,
so much fast food. So much comments on consumerism. Capitalism.
Snacks.
I think that might also partially be because Joan Vasquez just likes snacks.
Snacks are a valid reason to take over the universe, though.
Snacks are life. That's facts.
Are taking over the universe because they like snacks. If you're not being driven by food, what are you being driven by?
Logic.
It makes complete sense.
Speaking
of parking garage planet.
Yes.
I hate that. Speaking of which, enter the floor biz. I have to say one thing about it, only one thing. I'm mad they only go in a straight line. Straight fucking line. I hate it so much.
It's the most canonically together thing I've ever seen from Invader Zim.
It makes sense. It makes perfect sense. Oh, but then we have to move. We're already going straight. That doesn't make any sense.
It's the reason if you're lazy.
I like how I like how I'm acting like it doesn't make I'm saying it doesn't make any sense. Like Invader Zim makes sense. like Gurr makes sense.
Mini Moose. Does Mini Moose make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Mini Moose is probably the only thing that does make sense to me.
Guys, there's a whole episode where Zim and Dib turn into sausages.
That is a whole episode. Yes.
And then they never address it again.
Nope.
We're pretty sure they die. They would have had to die. They were surrounded by fucking dogs. They were baloney.
Yeah.
They weren't even just sausages. They were baloney.
Nothing's real. It's fine. Nothing's real.
It's cartoon world.
The insect episode, though, the head lice. I can't watch that episode still. It's too visceral.
Yeah.
He was good at that, though.
Yes. Viscerality is definitely his strong suit.
Absolutely.
A fact.
Well, because I was thinking for this episode, I'm like, oh, we should all, like, pick our favorite episode and talk about it. And then I was like, I can't pick one.
That
like,
doesn't exist.
There's always one where I'm like...
There's not a favorite episode. It is just the entire... unit collection.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, the movie was really good, though. Like, I mean, Enter the Floor Bits is good, but I meant the first Invader Zim movie. The one with Tack.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. The special... Well, I guess it was a movie, like, a special episode or something.
It was one of the first two-parters, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was a two-parter.
Because Tack was everything.
Tack was amazing.
That's definitely my favorite.
Wonderful Invader.
Yeah, those are my favorite episodes.
Stark contrast.
Stark contrast. Well, once again, just like Devi and Johnny.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it makes me wonder, how did Tack become an Invader when we don't see any other Invader that is that whole sweeping competent? She's the only one that I'm aware of.
Most of the other Invaders were doing pretty good.
Right.
Like, wasn't it Splooge on, like, the world's most comfortable couch?
He's chilling!
You know?
I guess it depends on the planet you get.
Exactly.
I guess it depends a lot on that.
Well, what 13 was a nightmare planet?
They also all had Sirs.
Yep.
And not a girl.
That is true. They did have Sirs. They have tech. That tech is really the Urken. This is a strength, really.
Tech and size.
Well, and they enslave so many other things. I'm going to switch the shipping address on these two packages. And then electrified, and then back to normal.
Yep.
This is your
cold, unfeeling robot arm.
I love you.
I love it.
We have to talk about the Dark Harvest episode.
Another very visceral.
What's
up with this man and organs? I love it. Do you think John Vasquez likes pate?
He might.
Organ meat.
He might.
You think so?
I would hope so.
I don't know if he would love it or hate it. I can't tell. With pigs, I can't tell if he loves them or hates them.
Yeah, it's a really complex thing.
Well, I think he also didn't want all of the experiments to happen to cows.
That's fair.
And pigs, honestly, there's a lot of weird carmel noises, Lots of cow references, lots of sheep references. I think he must have been mowed down by a pig when he went to a petting zoo.
There's so much about cattle, which I guess also ties into, like, the sheeple thing.
It does.
Even, like, the doughboys. They're pigs.
Yes, they are.
Big boys.
They're just piggy little children.
Big boys. It's so weird. It's a very weird thing to see, like, we'll think, like, whether or not he likes these things or doesn't like these things because of, like, the framing that he does for them.
Yes. It's hard to tell.
And, you know, maybe it's not, one of the things that he does so well is just point out weird shit that nobody else really thinks about.
That is why I follow his Instagram, and before that, his Tumblr. He just points out weird-ass shit.
Yeah, he's a weird-ass person, and I love it.
I would not want to meet him in a dark alley, unlike some others.
I'd be fine with meeting John Vasquez in a dark alley. Yeah, one, because I feel like I could take him.
he's made of just bone.
He's all bone and goth.
I think he'd just be really, really pointy. I'm like, I don't think I want to meet you in a dark alley. Like, passing you happenstance, I'm not going to go to an alley to fight you because it's not going to be worth my time.
I feel like I would step to him and I'd be like, you have two choices. We can fight or we can have some ramen. And he's definitely going to choose the ramen.
Oh, absolutely.
10 out of 10. That's facts. Not even because he doesn't want to fight me, just because that's the most logical choice.
Ramen is always logical.
That's the most logical choice.
So with all the characters in Invader Zim, how many do you think actually began as seeds of people that he knows? Because I know in some of the commentary episodes, he talks about physical attributes from certain characters because he knew somebody and he picked up their attributes and ran with it.
Oh, yeah. I know that there's like a couple characters that have glasses in the shows that one of them is supposed to represent Jonin and the other one, I think, was a producer for Invader Zim. It's like a big guy with glasses.
Yeah.
Like, they're based off of both
people.
Of them.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of panels, even in his comics and in the show, of just unadulterated screaming.
Yeah. Tongue all the way out.
Tongue all the way out. Space appearing between the teeth.
I think it's the viscerality reminds me so much of Junji Ito.
It really does.
It's so weird. Like, Junji Ito is more like existential, sort of like Lovecraftian sort of horror, where it's like regular everyday things that are made odd. Jonah Vasquez is just, life is just fucked up.
Life is just fucked up. Here's a poop joke.
And I think that's what makes it so relatable.
Yes.
You know, like, that's how it connected with so many people, because, like, it didn't offer any, like, solutions to anything. It's just like, no, shit's fucked up, but here's a funny thing.
It was also highly quotable.
Yes.
The fundraising, I am poop dog, the gangster master of defeat! Just, I want someone to cosplay that so badly. I want to see that exist in the world. And I want to see it step to Snoop Dogg and see what happens.
I think Snoop Dogg would be with it.
I think he would be with it, too.
Snoop Dogg is with everything.
I'm trying to think of other crazy episodes. I loved Pastulio. I had that.
Pastulio.
Hot Topic.
Hot Topic had an okay run of some decent products, honestly. Some of the stuff I have, I'm like, oh, you actually treated front and back of this shirt? Yes.
Yeah,
oh, you actually were... This is before your quality went to just, we're going to do graphic tees only.
I was going to say, that whole period of Hot Topic was like...
That was the golden age.
I mean, that was 100%.
That was the golden age of Hot Topic.
Back a little bit. They have Junji Ito hoodies and pants.
They've just expanded themselves.
They have expanded, but they have a lot of really cool stuff in your name.
I mean, I would still go in there and buy stuff, but not like I used to.
Oh, no.
I was deep in the Hot Topic. Deep in the... I was born in it, raised by it.
You were not born into the trip pants. I was.
Born into the trip pants. It's real.
They were a part.
It was fucking real.
I hate this.
I do think with Invader Zim and then The Matrix, everybody wanted a duster.
I mean,
everybody wanted that look.
Everybody wanted the vibe.
The dib look?
Yep. Everybody wanted to be Dib or Neo?
Literally everybody wanted to be Dib.
I don't think anybody wanted to be Dib.
I don't think anyone wanted to acknowledge that they wanted to be Dib, but they definitely dressed like that.
They wanted to look like Dib. They wanted to look like him.
I really, my biggest question in Invader Zim, even after Enter the Florpus, is, so how much of the Earth does Membrane own?
Good question. Submit your answers to
the Raging Hermit. How much of the Earth does this dude own exactly?
Because I feel like he must own a lot to, quote-unquote, give his shit away for free. Because there's no way he's actually doing that.
Didn't Amazon Echo do that, though? Just give away a bunch of stuff for free so that they can be in your house and control the world?
So what you're saying is Jeff Bezos wants to be Dr. Membrane and he's not that smart?
No! They did that shit for free. I gotta pay for that shit.
If you had Spotify, I think they gave it to you.
What the fuck?
No, if with Spotify, it was the Google equivalent.
I'm a corporate slave and I'm not even doing it for free?
Then yeah, it was Google.
God damn it.
Same thing, different corporation.
I'm upset. If I knew I could do that shit for free, I would... God damn it. Anyway.
Also, Google and Amazon, if you want to be a sponsor of... Raging Hermit.
I don't know about that. I don't want to know about that. They already own so much. They don't need me.
I would take every cent that they
You can absolutely own my whole body. I will literally tattoo the Amazon logo on my fucking ass. If you will give me money, please and thank you. And also maybe throw in an extra Echo because I shouldn't have had to pay for the other one.
Submit your answers to...
Because you had to pay for the any otherwise. That feels like a Joan of Arc skit, like a Johnny skit waiting to happen. Oh, the fucking Amazon dude showing up.
Johnny's talking to the Amazon and it, like, kills itself.
He's like, talking to the fucking Amazon. She's like, what the fuck? Alexa worker shows up, delivers groceries, and he's like...
just looks at him.
I'm just gonna drop these here and leave.
Is that a wall covered in blood?
Goodbye!
See, Bedelia's smile made everything for me.
It was the I gotta leave now smile.
I think I'm out of here.
But since the closing of the chapter of Invader Zim with Nickelodeon, he did work on other projects. Yes. He was the art director for A Bravest Warriors, which was a Pendleton Ward project. And that was the weirdest episode they did.
I was going to say, as soon as I start watching, I'm like, oh, yep, I feel the vibe.
Yeah, I feel the Jonin is here. The Vasquez is present.
He's strong in this one.
I do know on Tumblr, I don't know if it got nuked or not with the Tumblr exodus, but his Valentine's ads, or his Valentine's images are the best things ever. Like, they're screaming fleshy hearts.
I love it.
And I appreciate just how he draws people. They're just so... They're Da Vinci-level disgusting.
Yes.
They're, like, the grotesque portraits. I love it. His style's gotten a little more round.
It has.
That's true.
Actually, on his, what was it, Twitter, Instagram, he posted drawings of Sickness.
Yes.
From I Feel Sick.
It's just...
so cool. And it looked like... I mean, obviously his style's evolved considerably. You can tell. It's really cool.
Yeah, because he's been doing this now for, what, 3 decades?
Oh, yeah. That was the vibe.
Well, I know he had a pilot for another show that was more
like a ninja show, wasn't it?
I can't remember.
It was, like, space something.
It was something house.
Very briefly, a demo clip was on his Tumblr, and it was... It was beautiful. I'm very sad that it did not actually get picked up. Because I'm like, this.
The art style looked very cool.
The art style looked cool. The characters were just non sequitur enough. I would have enjoyed to explore that world more.
I'm very important house.
There we go.
Yeah, I'm very sad that it didn't actually get picked up.
Disney XD said they picked it up.
Maybe now they've picked it up.
Wait, hold on. Why you got 2 dates on this? Why you give me 2 dates?
I don't think this is true.
Don't play with me. I don't trust that shit. You trying to play with me? I'm not gonna get played. but yes. And he also did Randy Cunningham, Ninth Grade Ninja. He was a character designer from 2012 2015, but he used that name. He uses sometimes he goes by Mr. Skolex. So he went by Chancer Skolex.
I love it.
And I think recently he worked on what, TMNT?
Yeah.
I saw an episode that he did, which was also very... It had the vibe, like...
He's got a very distinct flavor.
Yes.
Is it wacky?
I hate it. I hate it. I'm gonna murder you. Just like Johnny would.
I can hear Johnny running up the street.
It's wacky quacky.
He also did that Mindless Self-Indulgence music video.
Shut Me Up.
Yep, yes. Which, as I watched it, I was like, early 2000s.
The vibe is strong with this one.
But also with that, you know, consumerism, you know, it is.
It just is.
I'm sorry, I just wrote a thing. I'm, like, on his Wikipedia page. When he went on the screensavers and someone commented that fans consider him a goth king, and he says jokingly, king, yeah, but not goth. I mean, that's arrogant.
That's what I'm saying. He's like, I'm not goth.
Goth trash. You goth fuck. You can't run away from who you are.
Name one goth kid who doesn't know who you are.
We won't let you run from this. You can't run from who you are.
Well, specifically, goth kids from the late 90s, early aughts.
Yes.
Because if you're dealing with goth kids from the 70s, they're his contemporaries.
Yeah, I was there, yeah.
I know that there were, what, 3 years of InvaderCon?
Yeah.
Only three!
I wish I just could have seen it. Just to see the photos, the madness.
Photos were depressing.
I feel like it was another DashCon. Earlier.
It wasn't DashCon bad, but it was definitely small sci-fi con based on the photos. Like, I'm going, okay, so you got maybe 300 people to 500 people together. I think the highest attendance number is like 700, maybe 1,000. Not bad, but also a level of, it's so, such a small range. You can't do this, you can't do what you do with Star Trek.
No.
You can't have a Trekkie level following just because there's not enough source material.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The Invader Zim comics were very good. Yes. I was very appreciative of that insanity. It was so good.
And how the style developed.
The style was so, it was nice seeing the characters still, as weird as that sounds, because he was also very good at the overlong hold of a frame.
Yep. It's so good.
Which is also why Invader Zim ended up being one of the most expensive shows that Nickelodeon has ever made, which is also why they canceled it. Because he was a comic person, all of his storyboards, you know, were so detailed and, like, action-driven. His animators were like, the fuck?
Are we doing with this?
You asked for too much. You asked for too damn much, Jonan.
Well, and the keyframes. He had just a lot of them. Because, again, a comic artist. That's why it was such a good cartoon, though.
And knowing now that everybody who worked on the show, including himself, being so young, most of the people working on Invader Zim did not have any experience in animation or voiceover work or any of that stuff, but that kind of allowed them to experiment and do stuff that we'd never seen before.
Exactly.
And you can feel it now, like, when you watched it, especially back in the day. You know, like, that's why he chose his friend to be the voice of Gurr. That's why he voiced many characters in the show. That's why he didn't want Mark Hamill to be the voice of Zim.
Yeah.
Like, he wanted it to feel independent and wacky. No.
Call it what it is, but
it's just a wacky, wacky time.
Wacky world.
It's such a good wacky, though. It's really fun to revisit.
We're disrespectful. I love it.
Is it disrespectful, though, when you're just calling a spade a spade?
I hate you. What, calling him goth?
Yes.
A wacky goth.
Well, he can't run from it. That's why we have Enter the Florpist.
Yes. Dude, yeah.
Do we want to dive into that a little bit?
Yeah. Fuck it.
We're already here. Let's just jump.
My other favorite thing about Enter the Florpist is that Dib and his relationship with his dad is so important in Enter the Florpist.
That was wholesome. Considering how Membrane was always a wandering satellite, is what I'm going to call it.
Yes, in terms of the characters, yeah.
It was interesting for me watching Enter the Florpist because certain parts of it were like, oh yeah, it's got that feel, that vibe. But other stuff I was like, it is reflective more of the culture that we have now. That's
exactly
why we have the wholesome father-son family aspect, which was not a part of the original Invader Zim.
And nor has it ever been a part of anything he's ever done from what I've seen. Like,
parents in a lot of his stuff are pretty
shitty.
Shitty. I'm going to say
trash.
They're shitty. They're non-presences, exactly. almost. Because even though Membrane was present, he was the famous father, and Dib was the son we don't talk about.
Son?
And he kind of dealt with Gaz, but even with that, scheduling in a date for your kids to have dinner with them, no, I can't do it in May, that date just filled up. You're scheduling time with your under 12-year-old children.
For months in advance.
Months in advance.
Months in advance!
To the point of... your sister will go to space and haul your carcass back to Earth.
Literally.
To go to dinner.
But yeah, it was interesting feeling the... going from, like, Invader Zim and Johnny the Homicidal Maniac, which is very, like, anti-everything,
yeah.
basically, and then seeing Enter the Florpus where, you know, we now have suddenly, like, family values and... depression. And like, it's also, it's kind of a growth of like being an angsty teenager that's very anti everything, and now we're grown up and we're like, oh well, we have to acknowledge
exactly
that we're grown ups now.
Yeah.
And I could feel that very strongly.
Oh yeah, definitely.
The whole thing,
the team who did all the other pieces on Enter the Florpus did a amazing job balancing all of that.
Yes. My okay, so maybe unpopular opinion, but
I'm ready.
The only thing that really bothered me about Enter the Florpus was Zim discovering that the tallest weren't coming and him becoming depressed. Because I feel, as a character, that thought would never occur to Zim.
Yeah.
Zim is so self-Zim that he would still figure out a way to be like, no, they're still coming.
He like, already has proven that he will do that. They said that they would call back. No, they didn't! His computer, his talking green dog, saying that, no, the tallest aren't going to call you back. No, they're going to call me back.
Yeah, I just feel like he...
why is suddenly this willful ignorance just out the window?
Why did yeah, that... yeah. What caused that to evaporate? Was it just time?
Did he grow up and become depressed? We can all relate to that.
Maybe. But that was the only thing that didn't make sense either. I'm like, why? For how selectively honoring of facts this character is, ignoring the fact that the tallest loathe him to the point of, my invitation must have gotten lost. You weren't invited. We weren't going to include you at all. Yeah. Why? What do you mean you left your post?
We were going to explode the planet and didn't care if you were on it.
Yeah.
Like, straight up.
They don't care about you.
So.
But no, they have to care about me. They do. They really.
They're the greatest invader.
I am their greatest asset. How could they not care about me? Okay, buddy. Okay, buddy.
I put the fires out.
So.
You made them worse.
Worse.
Or better.
Greatest quote of all time.
Facts. That's facts.
But yeah, that was my one big beef that's with fair. Enter the Florpus as I watched it. But again, that's also coming from a kid who grew up on the original Invader Zims.
Well, and they needed to have a point of entry for everyone else who maybe doesn't have the backstory and isn't going to go to Hulu to binge watch it like the rest of us nerds did before Enter the Florpus launched.
Exactly. But besides that, it was awesome to see all the characters again,
yes.
and the art style changed, like, a little bit, but not a lot,
no.
in my opinion.
It was solid.
That better. Like,
yeah,
little, yeah,
it was just, I don't know, like...
I think the only thing I missed...
digital. Yeah. I could feel that.
Yeah.
I missed the angularness of the screaming mouths. The That's mouths fair. Were yeah. all very circular in Enter the Florpus, and I missed the raging rectangles and triangles. I missed that, but I appreciate and adore how angular his style is because my art is not.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's something I have a hard time doing, so I appreciate it when it's done well, as Jonan does.
Agreed.
Hell yeah.
And, gosh, what else to say about Enter the Florpus? I mean, I am just glad to see a continuation up in Invader Zim. I personally yeah. never yeah. thought it would happen.
No. No. He also kept saying it wouldn't happen, and then he was like, I lied.
I'm a liar.
You piece of shit.
I am a liar.
Money. sweet Netflix money.
Give me them dash. Give me the dash.
The sweet, sweet cash. Give me the bag.
It was nice to see Minnie Moose again. Yeah. Was happy to see
the return
of Minnie Moose.
Yes. I am a little less enthused by the quality of the merchandise that has come out for this particular iteration, but that is because I still have my stuff from the early aughts.
It's
where I'm like, the quality of this is so much better. Why did you think that anyone who's actually into this would just buy any old thing?
Yeah. And it could be that I'm just out of the loop with the kids these days, but even with the return with Enter the Florpus, it still wasn't the rage that even Invader Zim was, even when it wasn't on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I didn't see all the Hot Topic kids coming out. You know?
No.
This new generation to this wasn't as crazy about it as we were, obviously, because it's also a different time.
Yeah, and they've been exposed to different things at this point. Exactly. Like, Invader Zim paved a way for a lot of other shows now to be able to be much more aggressive.
100%.
So now, like, it's just another part of the course.
Yeah, like, I would say
he definitely
Adventure Time.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he definitely allowed things like Adventure Time, Amazing World of Gumball.
Regular show.
He definitely paved a pathway for those to become accepted as animation.
Yeah.
As opposed to what else was on at the time. We had, I remember people, I didn't watch Rocko's Modern Life. It was actually a time where I didn't have internet, or cable, more accurately.
More like Cow and Chicken.
Cow and Chicken was parts of the beginning of raunch, but people were really mad about it because it was such obvious raunch.
Yeah. But that's also what the kids like.
That's what the kids like.
People,
they wanted that edgy shit.
Edgy.
People
go, Lord.
We all just want fart jokes. Let's just be real.
I mean.
Yeah.
We all just want to eat fast food and be like, and vent, and
I can say that all of the food art in Invader Zim and in Jonin and in Squee, it's either this is so disgusting I have to try it, or this is off-putting. Those are the only two options with any of his food art.
Exactly. Yes.
That's true.
It shouldn't be that way, but it is.
But it is. Very successful.
Very successful, dude.
I loved the bit at the end when they enter the Florpus and we get to see all the different animations.
Yes. That was so good.
The intro
was so good.
It was fun.
Because I know it got so many people like, what? Like, did we click on the right thing? And then, yes.
Well, and if you've watched some of the other Netflix animations that they're doing, the intro was done by the same guy who did the intro animation for Castlevania. And his art style in general is incredibly good. I cannot remember his name right now. But active on Twitter, dude just does good stuff. So he's become an in-house animator at Netflix. He was really excited to be on the project. And his style just rocks. I mean, go watch the Castlevania intro. If you don't want to watch anything else about the show, the intro's beautifully animated and viscerally different from just anime animation.
Hmm. Agreed.
Hell yeah.
Anything else about Enter the Florpus? I enjoyed it. I was happy to see Invader Zim come back and get a little continuation. Yeah. I wish there was more, but, you know, we waited almost 20 years.
Fed to the little goth scene kid in me, still living in there, still hanging out.
It definitely massaged that part. I'm like, the angst, it's soothed.
Put on my Converses. Go in my trip pants.
We're all a bunch of emo kids that grew up and had to pretend that we're not emo anymore. We just had to, you know, hide it better.
Well, or just embrace that not everyone likes spikes, but we can still always wear black.
That's unfortunate for them. I'm a spiky bitch.
Yes.
A spiky, wacky bitch.
Wackity dackity. Squealiest bitch.
Anything else we want to, any final thoughts on Yonan Vasquez and his...
I'm excited to see where he goes. I'm excited to see what comes next. Yeah. I'm ready for more viscerally uncomfortable Valentine's art. I'm ready for more viscerally uncomfortable drawings of fangoers at San Diego Comic-Con. I'm just ready for the visceralness to keep going.
I want him to work on a video game so bad.
Me!
I think that would be a fantastic
Even a iteration. Stupid point-and-click thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was actually thinking point-and-click would probably be pretty good for it.
Just visceral reactions. I would love that.
Be fucking lit. Fuck yeah. But, so that's what I'm thinking.
I would say all
Get
in all...
Bloaty's Pizza Hog point-and-click. Please!
Five Nights at Freddy's with Bloaty's Pizza
Hog. You heard it here first. On the raging hurricane.
Please,
It'd be so good.
Please send the money to.
No, 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 Jonan. You know you could kickstart that thing in a day.
In a day.
For real.
For real. But mad respect to Jonan Vasquez for being a weird, independent artist, sticking to his style, sticking to his weirdness.
His creative core.
Yeah, like, he literally defined a generation. Like, yeah, I'll give him props for that.
Absolutely.
A weird, weird, weird generation.
He definitely helped me be as weird as I am now, so that's his fault.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you so much.
I just want to give a quick plug to the podcast View from the Gutters, which had a really great episode on Johnny the Homicidal Maniac. They had a really good conversation and kind of helped frame it a little bit more for me because I wasn't as familiar with it. There also is a Nickelodeon podcast that had an interview with Jonan Vasquez, which was really awesome. And it's got also a bunch of other, like, cool little Nickelodeon interviews and talks, and those were pretty dope.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all should listen to us, the Raging Hermits. Please subscribe. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Anchor. We're on Spotify.
We're working on that Twitter presence.
Gang, gang.
Gang, gang.
Gang, gang.
Yeah. Giggity gang, 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 gang.
I love it. Well, I guess that's our, what? I think
that's our episode.
That's what we be doing all the time.
Stay weird, friends.
You know how it be. Stay weird.
Wander wildly and weirdly into 2020.
And always remember, there's weirdness afoot.
There's
weirdness afoot!
Yeet! There is no purpose to what we do.